In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
This is That Story Show, where we secretly think middle schoolers really aren't all that bad. Hey, podcast people, I'm your host. My name is James Kennison.
And I'm John Steinklauber. And this week on That Story Show, a listener from Ireland tries to hire a spider. James shares his review of a trampoline park. A father chases off a boy with a baseball bat. Alex's ancestors help swallow a southern city. A teacher gets asked if she's a Karen. Uh-oh. Julia tries to drive before she wakes up. And for the bonus, Robin's granddaughter is selling good drugs at school. And Eden brings us some homeschool drama.
Oh, man. Sounds like a good show. I was lying earlier when I said that we think middle schoolers aren't that bad. They're the worst.
They are not... They're developing.
But there's such a spectrum of middle schoolers, John. Have you ever met? I recently hung out with my nephew, and he's a sixth grader, and he's still a kid. But then you meet a kid coming out of eighth grade, and they're like a totally different species.
Yeah, there's a lot that goes on in those few years.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Like they start taking care of themselves most of the time, you know, brushing their hair, caring about
putting
their haircut.
Deodorant.
Yeah, deodorant and stuff. You don't have to tell them to take a shower. Like my nephew, I think the whole weekend we were there, he showered once, and it was only after my wife like had to yell at him. Like his parents were asleep, and she took her opportunity to slip in and
She was parenting her.
Yeah. She's like, dude, we could smell you. You went mountain biking with us this morning. You smell like sweat. Go take a shower. She said, and use soap. And I'm like, get your crevices, boy.
How did he take that?
He just did it because he's in sixth grade. But if he was in eighth grade,
he would have
taken care of it himself. Or yes, he would have gotten very offended. Embarrassed. Oh, he would have written an emo album or something.
They told me to shower and I didn't want to.
I don't even know
it's not their place. Could I be an emo singer?
I don't know. Probably honestly not. I couldn't name one emo band. Like, is My Chemical Romance emo?
I don't know. I always thought of not Angels and Where Blink 182 is kind of like the introductory to be like the
are they really though?
But I don't think they are.
They're pop probably punk.
Not. Yeah, they are more punk, aren't they?
They very much are.
I'm not sure really.
I missed the emo thing. I just skipped right over it.
Yeah, I was totally.
I mean, I remember seeing the goths, and then there were the emo kids.
Yeah.
And
I always thought they were the same because I was outside of both of those circles.
So. No, you have to grow your hair down over half your face. You have to look very melancholy. You have to have your heart broken. You have to be ready to cry.
You have to have a belt with a lot of metal on it.
And a white belt, a big white belt.
A white belt, yep. Skinny jeans.
Yes. Girls jeans, actually.
Girls. Oh.
The early adopters wore girl jeans until skinny jeans became a thing.
Is that right?
It's true. It's
I
very
didn't
true.
Know that.
Yeah. Rockstar Paul was my introduction to that whole concept. Yeah.
Was he emo?
No, he was punk, but
okay.
There's a blending there, you know?
There
it's
is.
A spectrum.
You're right. And the emo and sometimes they kind of meld a little
bit. But like back in the ska punk days, there was also a third option called hardcore. Yeah. And so you'd go to a show and sometimes a punk band would play, a ska band would play, and a hardcore band would play, and you just didn't care because it was kind of all good, you know, it was all good. So, but middle schoolers, just to come full circle, not good, not good.
Such a wide spectrum.
Yeah. Now, middle schoolers, I got to say, I got to give them a little love because they're the ones that review us on iTunes. Some of the weirdest reviews we ever get, but they'll do it, man. They're like, if you read this on the show, say cowabunga. And I'm like, I'm never reading that one on the show, and I'm never going to say cowabunga, even though I guess I just did. But
you did it. That was a review that came in 3 years ago.
But no, we are the masters of middle schoolers from all over the world, actually.
Oh.
Yeah, because I get reviews from all over the planet, and we're good in all age ranges. You know, the 30 plus, 40 plus, 20 plus, I would have never guessed. But a good chunk of them are young, 13 wow. plus. And they have no money. so they just, but they love the show. They love the show.
And we love them.
Okay. John says he loves you.
Real.
I tolerate you. I tolerate you. This show is for people that wash themselves without having to be told. Okay.
We all start somewhere.
Yeah. I know.
Let this be your official beginning point.
Yeah. Just, there's just a few areas, middle schoolers, the boys specifically we're talking about here, because girls are smarter and more grown than boys. But so middle school boys, wash behind your ears. I used to think that was just something moms said on old fashioned TV shows, but the back of your ears will stink. Wash out.
That's true.
Wash out your belly button. Wash your neck, the back and the front. Obviously wash, the parts that make you, a boy, and, wash the backside, your tailpipe, get in there.
That's right.
Get in there and clean it out.
Clean. And your feet,
but preferably wash your face before most of that. You don't want to be digging for diamonds and then washing your face after. So,
yeah. And don't do like I did when I was a kid. I would wash my hair with shampoo and just let the soap run down my body and say, That's good enough. Yeah, it doesn't work. It doesn't work. So,
one time I got in a loop. You ever gotten in a loop while you're washing your hair? If you follow the directions, you will get stuck in a time loop because it says wet your head and says apply to your hair, work into a rich lather, rinse, repeat. So there you go. I did it.
It really says I did that? It.
Yes. Rinse and repeat.
I've never read the instructions.
Yeah. So maybe you get stuck in a time loop. I did it like 10 times one time just to see. Like
doesn't say how many times to repeat.
No, it
so
never
did it right.
It never says stop. It just says repeat.
You're the one with hair too, so
that's true. But I guess it's worked, you know, because it's mostly still even the original color.
Man, that's a good point.
I got it going on.
That's why you read the instructions, kids.
That's right. Rinse and repeat. Just keep washing your hair until it either falls out like John. Or it turns into a proud crown of glory for yourself that you should cover before you pray. All right. We always start with an opening story. This one's called Hire a Spider, and it's from Shanna, or I'm sorry, Snea. Snea?
I don't know.
From Cork, Ireland.
I've never seen that name before. That's Snea. A new name.
I don't know. It's a new one for me. Hi, I'm Snea, living in Ireland with my husband. I've been enjoying your podcast for the last few weeks. That's the way it starts. It's always good up front. It's always good at the beginning. So here's my story. This is something that happened right around the time I started listening to your show. My husband and I are plant enthusiasts, or I should say plant hoarders in our tiny apartment. Well, you got to breathe somehow.
That's right. You probably have the cleanest air in all of Cork, Ireland.
Lately, our indoor garden has been under attack by aphids. Oh, my goodness.
Those little jerks.
And we've tried every DIY remedy under the sun, and none of them worked. So basically you tried everything but poison.
Well, you don't want to kill plants.
Right. But surely there's an aphid spray that's available down the street that they didn't try. They got on internet and they said, internet, is there a way to humanely rid us of the aphids? and the internet said, sure. In the 1800s, before aphids evolved into the species they are today, we would put salt or soap flakes on our tomatoes. And so they got some soap flakes. They ordered them on Amazon, and they were homemade, custom, bespoke.
bespoke soap flakes.
Soap flakes. And it didn't work.
Crafted in the old way.
Just like bespoke deodorant doesn't work, you know?
I'm going to have to ask you how you know that.
Because I have hugged people that are naturalists, you know?
Okay.
That they go for the oils, the essential ones that I went without for most of my life before I found out they were essential. and they pay like $20 a stick for this stuff. And you hug them and it smells like you're hugging a wet dog. Except it hurts your nose. You know what I'm talking about? BO when it's so bad.
Yeah.
And you can't smell yourself. They don't know. They don't know. But it doesn't work. So anyway, where was I? Where was I going? Oh, that they were trying natural remedies is my whole point.
That's what you were speculating.
Yeah. Well, she said every DIY remedy. So, you know.
Oh, gotcha.
Okay. Yeah. Then one fateful day, we spotted a tiny spider lurking near another plant. In our desperation to get rid of the aphids, we thought, why not recruit this little guy as a plant protector? I've never thought of that when I look at a spider. Matter of fact, I was watching TV, and the cutest little spider in the world jumped up over my finger. And I looked at that joker, and I killed him so fast it wasn't even funny. Cutest thing I ever saw. But
you
he died.
A cute spider?
I killed him dead. He had big, broad, I don't know his eyes or what, but he had little mandibles and stuff, and he was a little furry, and he is a tiny little round guy, and his whole body was like a half centimeter wide. But cutest thing ever. It was like he was looking right at me, like, hi, can we be friends? I was like, heck no, squish.
Boink. Oh, jeez.
And it was that kind of squish where I didn't really think it all the way through because I didn't know where he landed.
Oh.
Yeah, so I had to get up and, like, do a spider dance to make sure that he was not touching me. So, I don't think about spiders as – I don't buy it that they're useful. People are like, let the spiders live in your home. Just let them live there, and they will take care of the bugs. I've never seen that. I've never – you would think out of all the years – of walking into a dark kitchen, turning on the lights. You know, I've seen roaches scatter in my childhood. Yeah. I've seen water bugs and stuff do their thing. I've never caught a spider in the middle of protecting me from a fly or something.
It's because they're like ninjas. They hide and they capture things.
No, they spread a web. I've never seen one full of bugs that I didn't want in the house. I just see the web that I don't want in the house.
Yeah.
Like behind the motion protector for my security system, you know? It's like there's no bugs going back there. What the freak? I think spiders have us all fooled. Anyway, I'm anti-spider. So they're trying to hire this spider. So
yeah,
we tried to gently nudge it toward the aphid-infested plant. Instead of scuttling to its new job, the spider immediately balled itself up, playing dead like a dramatic soap opera star. So we were persistent, though. We kept trying to coax it onto a piece of paper to transfer it. You're way too nice. I would just, like, lick my finger and touch the spider and then, then flick it over into
the
plant.
What's the point of licking your finger?
So it would have something to stick to, maybe? I don't know.
Okay, I got you.
You know,
makes sense now.
I don't want to. I don't want to. I don't want to pinch it. I thought it through before I said it. I was like, tweezers? No, that would be too harsh. Fingers? No, that would be too gross. Let me just see if I could dab it up. You know, like a like when you're trying to pick up a little piece of paper,
a little
piece of glitter with your finger. Yeah. You know, you could just lick your finger and pick up the glitter or the sequin. You know, a sequin. That's a good way to do it. Sometimes you can't get a freaking penny up off the counter. Lick that finger and stick it to that dime, and it'll pop right up. But anyway, like a dramatic villain coming back to life, the spider sprang into action. It stretched its legs out, puffed itself up, and gave the most intense, albeit tidy, threat to display. I wish it could speak. You're like, don't bother me.
Get away.
If looks could kill, well, we wouldn't be dead because the spider was less than 2 centimeters long. There's a big spider. But it sure thought it was terrifying. Dude, that spider that jumped on my finger gave me the cutest.
He was trying to win your heart.
He was. He was like, I've been climbing up this dude most of the day. Finally, we shall be friends. Nope.
I just need to land in the right spot so perhaps, that I can get his attention.
Perhaps we will make Google Shorts together. My new friend and I. Nope. Aww. He died. It sure thought it was terrifying. After a few more failed attempts at spider relocation, we finally got it onto the aphid-infested plant. The spider, probably exhausted from its big performance, decided to settle in and do its job anyway. We had a good laugh at the tiny creature's failed attempt to intimidate us. So that's a funny story.
I'm not waiting for a punchline. I want to know if it worked.
Well, he said he got busy, settled in, and did his job.
Settled in. Okay.
Aphids, man.
Do your plants still have aphids? Have they gotten more
the spider
thriving?
Acquired more friends?
Yeah. Here's the real question. Does your plant, all of your plants that you seem to love to hoard, do they have like a network of webs across them?
Mm.
Yeah.
That would be pretty attractive.
It
wouldn't be the World Wide Web. It would just be
local.
Like a local network. Yeah.
Yeah. Local area web.
Yeah.
It's the law.
A LAN.
LAN.
Law. Yeah. You're right. Instead of a web, it would be a wob.
The wob.
I don't know. I don't know what I'm saying. But I could see if you were there, a little spider trying to get tough. I would get tough with you if you were bugging me.
I don't want to eat now. I'm hungry.
You were begging me in those precious Irish accents. I would be like, you know, please, little spider, come do what we want you to do. I don't know. Come eat the aphids, eh? I don't know.
That's an Irish Canadian.
I used to be able to do it. Now I've forgotten how. It's like singing and talking at the same time. You have to be, how are you doing, James? How you be? You know.
Oh, yeah.
If you want me to say ukulele, ask me to say ukulele. There it goes. There it goes.
There you go. There you go.
So ask me to say ukulele, 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 ukulele. Come on, spider.
That's right.
Come on over and eat these aphids, eh? Yeah,
the aphids.
I don't know what they say instead of A, but...
A. I.
Arr.
Ew.
Okay, so question. Did all pirates talk like that? Or is it fake and made for Hollywood? Were there people that talked like that weren't pirates? You know what I'm saying?
Shiver me timber, scallywags. That's a good question.
What do you think?
I don't know. I think pirates, I think that they spoke whatever language they were pirating from.
Okay.
Because, you know, you probably had Spanish pirates.
Right.
And you had, you know.
But like the right popular now, ones, you know, were the pirates
like
of the Caribbean. Yeah, they were white dudes from probably Britain or America.
Yeah.
And they're sailing the seven seas and they're arr, matey. I mean, that came from somewhere.
Tumble, but yeah. It's like a stereotype. It's a pirate stereotype. Like the real pirates back then, they're probably like, why do they make us sound like we're scallywag scum?
They all talk like
seven seas.
So you're saying they sound like Johnny Depp is what you're saying. They did a Johnny Depp, Jack Sparrow accent.
Yeah, well, that's right. Jack Sparrow, you know, he's a,
you have.
He's a fellow that he's just.
You have heard
too
of
much
me.
From. What?
You have heard of me. Yeah. So,
right.
It's one of my favorite lines in the whole movie. But no, I just imagine this guy walking around and he's trying to get something to eat. And he's like, "Arr, lassie, give me a pint of rum and the best sandwich in the back." You know, I guess sandwiches are a thing. And and everybody's like, "Oh, crap, it's a pirate." No, I'm not a pirate. No, you are. We can hear it in your voice. I promise I'm not a pirate. I'll walk the plank to prove it. And they're like,
I'm an accountant, actually. I like counting numbers.
We're going to hang you anyhow. Oh, good God, don't do that. So.
A fox be upon ye if he think that I will be walking the plank for such nonsense.
And then God help him if he just has a random pirate, a pirate pet, like a freaking, you know, just a random bird. It's not even
it's
a full-blown parrot.
This bird is.
It's just a parakeet. You know, he got it from his mom.
And I didn't even want it.
This is Polly. Oh, that's a pirate bird name. We're going to string you up. For piracy.
But I've got a wooden leg.
But I've lived here in town for years.
Yeah, but well, how did you get a wooden leg if you're such a good accountant?
Oh,
huh?
Man. Oh.
Should probably turn that into a skit someday.
Oh. Just reminded of the joke from Mary Poppins. Did you hear about, there's a Mary Poppins joke. It's at the end. It's what makes the old man die laughing at the end. He says, have you ever heard of the guy with the wooden leg named Smith? No? What's the name of his other leg? Oh!
He doesn't die? He doesn't
no.
Die laughing.
Dick Van Dyke, who plays the old man and Bert, starts laughing, floats in the air, and then father died laughing next day while we're all flying kites.
Oh, I remember that now. Boy,
he left room for a new partner. And woo, woo. And everything comes out happy in the end.
Yep, that's right.
Except Mary Poppins leaves, dude. Everybody,
I know.
Everybody in
part.
Kids shows left. Benji freaking left. Lassie, I don't know if she left or not.
Old Yeller.
Old Yeller definitely left. Kids, spoiler alert. Old Yeller leaves.
For good.
For good. That was like the worst thing ever.
Kids listening to this show right now are like, what's Old Yeller? What's he talking about?
We didn't have to read that one yet. Yeah, it's because you're too wimpy, middle schools. You're too wimpy these days to handle Old Yeller.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's rewind the week. All right, weekly rewind where we tell you something funny from the last few days or so. I work at a screen print and digital printing supply company and manufacturing plant.
Yeah.
I do their website, and recently awesome. I've been making videos for them. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'll have to send you
some. Made another one?
I've made like four.
Whoa.
I know.
I saw the first one you did, and that was awesome.
So
entertaining, even.
Yeah, they're funny. They make me do, they had me do a video on tape dispensers. I'm like, this is a chance to be really creative because I could tell you everything there is to know about tape dispensers in about 2.5 seconds, you know?
Yeah.
So
dispense tape.
I had a lot of fun with that one. But anyway, we have this pretty good sized men's restroom because it was built back, you know, 100 years ago. So there's lockers in there. There's this giant circular hand washing station for like 10 guys to push a button with their foot and water will pump out. And
like the sink in Harry Potter in the bathroom?
Not unlike that. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Except it's one giant bowl and there's different spigots coming out and you step on a button and on the floor, and it pushes out water to your area. Anyway,
that's kind of neat.
But there's two stalls and two urinals. Big deal, right? Well, there's only one stall that anybody wants to use because the other one has a trick to flush it, and it's a pain in the butt.
Oh, you got to flush it with your butt.
Yeah. It's not is that fun. No.
I'm an idiot. I'm sorry.
It's pretty funny you caught that, though. So anyway, you always walk in and you check for feet, right? You do that. So right. I walked in. I didn't have to go, but I checked the feet. I just do because it's past, you know.
Habit.
Yeah, you just see them. And I've never seen feet in this position before. Okay?
Oh.
Yeah, yeah. I'll just say it this way. The guy was sitting on the toilet like I would sit in a beach chair. He had his legs sprawled out nearly underneath the door.
Was he sitting on the napper crapper?
I don't know. But he got up and I heard him wipe. You know, you can hear it.
No.
And then he got up and flushed and left. And I never saw who it was because I was in the urinal by then. But so he wasn't sleeping. That's just the way he sits on the pot. And I'm like, how does that work? Yeah. I don't know about you, but I make plenty of room. Yeah. I don't know how to say that on this show.
I know what you mean.
Yeah. I make it as easy as possible for what has to come out to escape without touching anything on the way. You know? How about that?
Yeah, we should invent a toilet seat, right?
Yeah. It would start off thin and you would sit on it and then it would spread apart and you could manually control how far it spreads you.
It's a cheese spreader. What's wrong? We're talking about middle school kids and we're still them. But this actually feels like it could be a good thing.
Yeah. You don't have to do it manually. Humanity. You know, kind of lean to one side, grab one cheek, lean to the other, grab the other.
It's funny because it's true.
Seems to be a more humane, you know, way to for a respectable man to. I don't know.
There's a certain method of taking care of that particular part of business.
So this guy's not doing that. Is all I'm saying.
He's relaxing.
If you're relaxing and your feet are spread out, how are you even getting anything out? I mean, it starts as a cylinder. By the time it's coming out of you, it's a pancake. I don't know.
Oh, that's why you could hear him.
Because he had so much to do.
Yeah. Oh, this is the worst show.
It's not my fault. I just witnessed this. And I was like, I need to write this down because I will totally forget. And so I want to share. I sit like a tin soldier on a horse. My back soldier. Is straight. Every now and then I'll put my elbows on my knees and kind of, you know, just get on my phone kind of deal. But most of the time I'm sitting quite erect, like a drawing of a person sitting down, you know,
like the thinker.
Yeah.
The
statue of the thinker. But, I started thinking, you know, maybe there's somebody out there that poops with their legs crossed, you know, Is it possible? I mean, you could technically still spread them and have a leg crossed. You couldn't do it like a woman, but you could sit, you know, with your ankle on your knee. I mean, if a guy can stretch out and enjoy himself,
lounge on the toilet,
then what's toilet stopping lounger. Him from crossing his legs and pooping? That's all I'm saying. Is there's options now that I didn't know existed. I thought there was one way we all agreed was the right way. You know,
it was universal. We never, you know,
and then,
shared it.
You know,
it's
I heard
like innate.
I heard about people that hover poop overseas. You know,
oh yeah, yeah. They have squatty potties,
and that's fine. I accepted that. I moved on with my life. But now, here, right here in America, you know, as divisive as things are, this could be the thing that finally kicks me to one side or the other is how, what's your posture for pooping? What's your poop posture?
Your potty posture. We need to come up with a poll so that he can know better.
Shove it up his butt and teach him how to poop.
Maybe
right.
We can get a grant.
Anyway, so that's my weekly update. I hope.
Oh, geez, man. Oh. I don't even know if I can follow that. Maybe I should just quit ahead. Oh, no, I'll tell you. Mine actually takes care of the input of food instead of the output.
Okay.
You know, we're in the part of the season at the recording of this show, dear listener. It is week after Thanksgiving.
Yeah, I hope you guys had a good Thanksgiving.
Yeah. And just so you know, since we didn't say it, we missed you last week.
We did.
But we were also giving thanks, and mm-hmm. we are thankful for you.
Yeah.
But with that part of the season, James, you know, there comes leftovers.
Yeah.
And sometimes around the workplace, people will bring some of those leftovers and leave them for others to eat and to enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, you know, the older I get, the less I really like eating other people's food if I haven't seen them prepare it.
Yeah, you don't know what their kitchen looks like.
I like Stephen Forrester's example of the, was that on the main show?
The cat hair. It was the cat hair cookies or bundt cakes or something. Yeah, I don't remember.
Yeah.
It's not good.
So, yeah, and so I, and nothing, I'll eat food if you give it to me. Probably. And it will enjoy it because I've eaten a lot of cookies and stuff that people have dropped off. But I was going through one of the workrooms actually just today, and there was some food there, and I gazed upon it and I denied it. I did not eat any of it.
Why not?
Because I just, it was the end of the day,
mm-hmm.
and I thought that's been sitting there for a while,
mm-hmm.
and I don't know how many people have breathed across it, and I don't know the hands that touched it, or even how old it was. I mean, it even looked kind of good.
What
I
was it?
Maybe I should. It was dessert pastries.
Mm. How many were left?
Two.
Mm.
Yeah. And I thought really hard for, like, if I were a little bit more hungry, I probably would have grabbed one.
Okay, so this is a guy that has admitted to eating trash donuts.
Wait a second.
So suddenly?
Yeah, it did happen.
So suddenly
but
you're...
But they were in a container when they were in the trash.
Uh-huh. These were out in the open.
These were out in the open.
So you have standards. We just, they're just not, they're not consistent standards.
Maybe they're not. That I don't know if I'm comfortable with this part of the conversation. it's like that lady that called me out for saying maybe the leaf was a Japanese maple leaf, and
yeah,
it was, but it looked like it wasn't a maple leaf.
So did you get the image I sent you this week?
I did.
We have a Japanese maple, fake Japanese maple plant in our workplace, and I walked past it, and only after that story did I notice that, yeah, it looks like a pot plant, the whole thing.
Yeah,
I sent you a photo.
You did, and those leaves were very green. Usually Japanese maple leaves are like red throughout the year.
Okay.
But those leaves are very green. I don't think that's a fake Japanese maple tree plant. I think it's
just a plant that has marijuana leaves.
I think it is. It's a fake marijuana plant.
I don't know what they're trying to push on us there at work. I don't know.
Keeps life interesting, huh?
Yeah. So you didn't get a pastry?
No, I did not. And you know what? If they're still there when I leave tonight, I won't get one.
You're lying. Because if somebody throws them away, you're going to jump on them.
That's the thing. I'm waiting for them to go into the trash. As soon as they're there, I'll be like, you know what? Those do look good
now. They look good and ripe now.
I think I'll eat one. I'm really kind of peckish.
Yes. Shame if these things went to waste.
Yeah. They can go to my waste.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Man. Thanks, John. We got a review brought to you by Podgagement.com. Rip2211 says, you guys make me laugh every night. Once I laugh so much, I choked. I love this show so much. And then about 15 flame emojis.
We're fire, James.
That means we're fire. That's what the middle schoolers are saying these days.
So what generation would that be? Would that be Gen Z?
Gen A?
Gen Alpha?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
Okay. I don't know.
Because my kids are Gen Z, and one of them's about to turn 20.
Oh. Oh.
Yeah. Them generations keep on creeping up, man.
Yeah, they do. So, which is the Skibidi Toilet generation?
Skibidi Toilet.
That's like the thing that all the kids in middle school are saying now.
Oh.
Everything's like Skibidi this and...
I don't know. I don't know. I don't hang out with kids anymore.
All right.
I was a children's pastor. I knew all the slang, but now I have no idea. But let's just go ahead and call them alphas.
Okay.
Yeah. Let's just separate them from the Gen Zers. Please leave us a review on iTunes or Spotify. It makes us happy, laugh, skibbity doo, and it really helps the show. Review.thatstoreshow.com. Let's do some featured stories.
Let me tell y'all a story.
All right, this story is from me. We don't do this very often, but it's called AI Reply.
You're the James.
And I'm the James. Yeah.
Oh.
I was going to make this a weekly update, and I'm like, no, it's a story. Let me tell the story. So I like my new hobby is doing Google reviews of everything that Google asks me to review.
Really?
Yes.
That's cool.
I do crazy reviews. I always give 5 stars.
Okay.
Even if it's the terriblest place in the world, I always have fun with the review. And I have followers.
Wow.
I am, according to Google, I am in the top 10% of restaurant reviewers in America.
In America?
In America.
Whoa.
I take pictures wherever I go, and I'm ready for Google Maps to say, hey, you just visited so-and-so. And I'm like, yep, I'm ready.
I did. It's time for me to review them.
I'll give you an example of a review I did of a park, because we went to a park. And that's kind of what started the whole thing is I was like, I didn't know you could leave a review for a park. You know, that's kind of hilarious. And so my review was, this is the suckiest park in the world. There's almost no rides here. There's no castle unless the theme or no, I said it's the suckiest theme park in the world unless the theme is nature. I said, negatives, no rides. Positives, no lines. You know, so it's just stupid stuff like that.
That's a good one. That's funny. So, and you left it 5 stars. So,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah, 5 stars.
You're not hurting anybody.
And Google will ask me to review the weirdest things. I did this trip to Chicago to see 500 Frenzy. I was on my way back, and I had stopped at a rest area, and it said, so what was your experience at rest area number 2 in Substance County?
I guess I'll tell you.
And so I did. I'm like, I am today days old when I found out you could leave a review for a... John, and so if you read this between the two miles ahead and the actual turn, just know this is a great place to pee. You know, I said I was able to find where I was supposed to pee. No one tried to put their hands on me. So it's a great place to urinate. And, yeah, if you read this between the 2 miles ahead sign and the turnoff, go ahead and feel free to urinate here as well, you know? So I have a blast. And people even heart and emoji my reviews. It's crazy. So I left a review for this trampoline place that we took my nephews and my kids to. And the trampoline place was crazy. It was dirty. It was mismanaged. There was no manager there. There was just teenagers, and all of them were on their phones. There was visible mold on the ball pit balls.
Oh, no.
And you know that black grime that forms on a bathroom stall around where the hands go or the door if you don't clean it? That was on all of the climbing equipment. Like the trampolines were probably the only parts that were just clean because how dirty can a trampoline get, you know? You're bouncing on socks. But anyway, so I left a review. And the review is this. If you're an 80s kid who used to get a little overstimulated at Showbiz Pizza Place, then this place will make that place feel like Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. Every child is unmonitored. They're sweaty and feral and likely heavily medicated. The staff is maybe 5 years older than the ankle biters that are actually running the place. I'm assuming there's a corporate app that they have to be on constantly in order to do their jobs effectively and keep the kids safe because they were all studying every moment they weren't clamping a kid into a harness. Would contract COVID again, 5 stars.
Wow.
So
you gave them 5 stars for being a nasty place.
Right.
Oh, man.
Which adds to the humor, right? Well, yeah. I get replies from these people sometimes, and they sometimes they get the joke, and sometimes they just type it into AI and say, make a reply for this this review, and I am guaranteeing you that is what this person did. The reply. We're thrilled to hear that our place brought back some nostalgic memories for you. ChatGPT, anybody?
Oh, man.
We understand your observations about the energetic atmosphere and our staff's dedication to safety.
Oh, come on.
ChatGPT, anyone? We're always striving to provide a fun and secure environment for all our guests. Thank you for your feedback and the 5-star rating.
Oh, man.
So that is the story called The AI Reply by James in St. Louis, Missouri. Yeah.
So either that was totally ChatGPT, which it was. It's got to be. I could put it through an AI filter if you want. I could find out for sure.
Yeah.
But either that or that were just very crafty and very snarky.
No,
we understand your observations about the energetic atmosphere.
No, that would have been
staff's dedication.
That would have been clever but that reads like a nice GPT. ChatGPT is always nice.
Yeah,
like I tried to get it to help me write something bad about Karens, and it wrote half a paragraph about stereotypical Karens, but then it finished the paragraph like John would and said. But Karens are just people like everybody else, and deep in their heart, they probably just are struggling, and we need to kind of understand what they're going through. And
that
I was
like something I was saying.
Yeah. So, that's what this sounds like. It's like he heard the negatives, ChatGPT heard the negatives, used the keywords that it wanted to be positive about, and wrote about those. So, anyway. Oh, I almost forgot. We have a new sponsor. I was supposed to play it at the front of the show. Brother John something or another. Let's find out together. Here we go.
Well, okay.
You know, I've seen a lot of bowls in my time. Plastic, ceramic, even those fancy glass ones. But none of them hold a candle to my favorite, the Brother John's Blessed Bowl. That's right. This bowl is a game changer. And let me tell you why. It's Sunday morning. And Linda's in the kitchen prepping her famous macaroni salad. You know, the one creamy, tangy, with that perfect sprinkle of parsley on top. And she reaches for her trusty blessed bowl, and I can't help but smile. That's a bowl that knows its job.
Yeah.
She packs it full, smooths it out, and heads off to church. And let me tell you, when she walks through those doors, it's like a parade. Everyone sees that gleaming blessed bowl, and suddenly they're all smiling. Well, if it isn't Linda and her macaroni salad, well, praise be. The bowl lands right on the potluck table, nestled between the deviled eggs and the jello mold, shining like the star it is.
Perfect.
Now, I've seen this bowl at work. I know its tricks. It's got space, it's got style, and when you're digging in for seconds or thirds, you can trust it to keep things steady. I've heard church ladies gush over it. Oh, what a lovely bowl, they say. Well, they're not wrong. This thing holds more macaroni than you think possible. Divine design, if you ask me. But you want to hear something really special? This bowl ain't just for potlucks. No, sir. Cut to two days later. Linda's daughter, Kayla, goes into labor. No. It's chaos. Nurses are rushing around. Doctors are prepping. And there's Linda, calm as can be. She reaches into her bag, and what does she pull out? Yep, you guessed it. The blessed bowl, still sparkling and still ready.
No!
Now, I'm not saying the blessed bowl was made for this, but it handled that delivery like a pro. Caught that newborn like it was catching the Holy Spirit. Nurses just stood there, mouths open, as Linda cleaned it up, wrapped it in a towel, and handed it over. One of them leaned over and said, "Now, that's what I call multi-purpose." And you bet it is. So next Sunday, there it is again, back on the kitchen counter, ready to be filled with macaroni or fruit punch or who knows, maybe even a meatloaf. It doesn't matter. The blessed bowl is versatile. It's dependable, and it's ready for whatever life or the church social throws at it.
Oh, gosh.
So if you're looking for a bowl that can handle everything from potlucks to, well, other kinds of miracles, look no further. The blessed bowl has got you covered. It's dishwasher safe, sterilizable, and available in three colors. Divine white, miracle blue, and angelic pink. So pick yourself up one of Brother John's blessed bowls and leave a legacy for generations to come.
Placenta pink.
And while you're at it, take a look for one of Brother John's Not Yeti travel mugs. They're great for keeping cold things cold, hot things hot. And they can be used in the occasional bladder overfilling, if you know what I mean. Look for Brother John's quality products anywhere you shop.
Oh, man. Brother John, thank you for your support of that story show.
That's awesome.
That was amazing. I
use his beard oil, too. It's really good
stuff. Yeah, I've heard about that stuff. It's good. But his bowls, I'm not so sure about. Not so sure we should have taken that money. I think we've sold out
long ago.
Yeah.
I don't know. Their travel mugs aren't so bad.
Yeah. That's good.
There you go.
All right. Read us a story, John.
All right. I got your story right here. Brought to you by Brother John's Baby Bowls. Let's hit a kid. This is coming to us from Luis. All right. So, Lee says, my five siblings and I were playing baseball with the neighborhood kids in the park across the street, you know, in full view from our house.
Mm-hmm.
The game had its usual players, plus two heinous brothers from down the street. Heinous kids.
I haven't heard that in a long time since like the 80s. Totally heinous, dude.
Totally. They're heinous.
Oh, and I heard it from Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure, too.
That's right. Excellent Ted. During this game, the older, detestable boy began taunting my twin sister. He demanded that she kiss him.
That's not good.
She switched places in the outfield to get away from him. However, the game came to a screeching halt when he tackled, pinned, and kissed her all over her face.
No, no, no.
Okay, I was up to bat, and I had a clear line of sight upon this egregious assault.
Goodness.
Bat in hand. Egregious. This is a well-written movie.
Yeah, somebody got on thesaurus.com.
It's egregious assault.
I need 10 ways to say bad.
Yeah.
Heinous. Egregious. Jerk.
So, yeah, that, or maybe I'm reading this with the wrong accent. Maybe this is like an English.
Maybe it's Louis instead of Louis.
Louis. Well, I'm sorry if I've done it wrong, but we got to finish it. Bat in hand, I ran to my sister's defense.
Yes.
There you go. You protect your sister, Louis. In the meantime, unbeknownst, this is another fine word.
Dang.
My father was top speed running to his little girl's rescue. I only had time to raise the bat and scream my battle cry when my father snatched the bat from my hand and yelled, "Let me at him!"
Oh, yes!
Oh, yeah. Dad, there you go. The nasty boy.
Get over here! I'll take the
Swing for the fences. The nasty boy jumped up and ran with my father screaming like a banshee behind him with the bat raised menacingly. This is four words. These are four very expensive words to use.
Yes. It's upping the intelligence of our show substantially.
I know.
Look at my sentence that I just used for the law.
Substantially. That's a good one. He allowed the terrified fiend to scurry into his house and lock the door.
Oh.
The entire neighborhood heard my father's issue. I'm sorry. This is Shakespeare here. The entire neighborhood heard my father issue his decree should the degenerate reprobate ever come near his daughters again. My father returned the bat to me with a concentrated hands-on demonstration on how to choke up on it and proper the foot placement near the base.
Yeah.
He joined our weekend games for the rest of the summer along with a few other neighborhood dads.
Yeah.
Interestingly, the miscreant and their father never joined us. Thanks for reading this, and I hope it makes it on the show.
Oh, absolutely. Man, that story like that does me good.
Yeah, most appropriately.
Oh, most distinguished of stories. Absolutely.
Ring that there, thy bell.
Yes, I shall toll it again and again. Oh. There we go.
The king which doth ring within my ears does me great joy.
It does. Man, that kid must be homeschooled. That's what I got to say right there. First of all, they're playing with their dad, and their dad still lives with them.
Yep. Let's add it up here. So five siblings.
Yeah. Right? Yeah, that's ding one.
That's six kids in all.
Playing baseball in the street with friends. Ding two.
In bird's eye view or in view of the house, ding three.
Dad at home, ding four.
We have all these high dollar words.
And at least one kid that has no social graces at all because his parents haven't taught him any. He's not socialized properly. That's ding five. Because
he was heinous.
There's still that stereotype for a reason because not every kid is socialized properly. Some of them want to hit girls over the head and drag them into the cave. So, And then the father was able to chase him down and the other dad didn't come out and harangue him. Oh, look at me with my fancy words.
What's a harangue? I've never heard that one.
Oh, I love it. I love it. So I'm going to give that a middle school or a homeschool drama.
So where'd your son go to school?
All right.
I'm going to give it 5 stars.
Oh, there you go. 5 stars.
Yeah. And I'm going to get ChatGPT to write me a nice response.
All right. That sounds good. Alex has a story called Kudzu Karma. I heard on a podcast recently about kudzu, and I reached out to my mom about a family story of how my family got kicked out of Kentucky for bringing in kudzu. The story goes that in the 1930s, my family lived in the small town of Nocter, Kentucky, and my great-grandfather was the one to go out of town to get supplies and seeds for the others. He came back telling all about kudzu and how it would be great cow feed and all the other miracle cures that kudzu would be. He also hoped it would grow on the hill areas where other crops could not. He took the money of many a townsperson and went back to get the kudzu seeds so they could start making these bumper crops as soon as possible. And they all took the seeds, and everyone, including my grandfather, planted it as soon as they received it all over the hills.
Oh, man.
After a couple of years, the reality of kudzu came to light, and his name was so run down that the family had to move out of the area in 1938. My family got big into genealogy, and my grandfather and my mother went back to the area for research to see his childhood home area around 1998. The whole hollow was covered in kudzu, they said. The current occupants commented, some beehole planted all that kudzu mess. And my grandfather, Gene, replied, yeah, and I know who it was. Thanks for all the great shows through the years. Keep it up, Alex. Now, I know that some of you are like, kudzu, what? And you got to be from the South, okay, to understand this. Yeah. So I did a little research and dug in, and here's the info. Kudzu was introduced to the United States in 1876 at the Philadelphia Continental Exposition. It came to the South in the late 1930s for erosion control and as a possible crop to feed cattle. But it loved the Southern hospitality a little too much because of the weather. And before long, it was climbing trees, covering barns, and turning literally millions of acres into a leafy jungle. And it kills everything underneath it because it provides so much shade. So it is definitely an invasive species. Kudzu can grow up to 1 foot a day, and it is nicknamed to this day the vine that ate the South. Some cities have been battling it for over 70 years.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
So now you know why Alex's family was on the outs.
And I know who planted it.
He did a little dance. It was us, nanner, nanner, poo-poo, stick your head in doo-doo.
Oh, man, some b-hole.
That's not what the original one said, but we said the A-word enough in the last episode or whatever it was. So,
yeah,
episode before last, I think.
A hole?
Yeah, we just talked about a hole. A hole in the ground. Hole. Yeah.
A hole, hole.
That's what the episode name was, a hole. So, John, how do you kill a Karen?
Well, I'm going to tell you, and this comes from a nice Karen.
Okay.
All the way in Indiana. I recently retired from teaching, and most of my career was spent teaching middle schoolers.
Oh, boy. Hold on.
Theme here. Dang it.
Move out of the way, stupid.
Okay.
Well, this nice Karen specifically taught 7th and 8th grade.
Okay.
So, in general, I was a well-liked teacher. While my students didn't always love the subject matter, I was usually able to develop good relationships with them and make the classroom an enjoyable place to be. A number of years ago, when Karen first became to mean what it means now, my students were seated in groups around the room, supposedly working together on a project.
That's crap. You're never working on the project. One person that cares is working on the project. The rest of you
cares about the grade. The rest of them are trying to break through their Chromebooks and find video games.
Playing Roblox or something.
Yeah. Supposedly they were working together on a project, but of course, probably mostly goofing off.
Mm.
I would circulate around the room, keeping an eye on the kids and answering questions now and then. I came upon a group of three boys who looked up at me and said, "Mrs. K, do you know what a Karen is?" Acting perfectly innocent, I responded, "Yes, that's me. My first name is Karen." This sent these 12-year-old boys, who were really quite respectful and never would have called me a derisive name, into a bit of a tailspin. Red-faced, they stuttered and stammered,
"No, that's not what I meant. Wait.
I don't even know what that means."
"I'm a Karen," she boldly declared. Finally, I put them out of their misery and said, "Yes, I know what you're talking about," afraid that they had made a serious misstep and that I might be insulted. They still didn't know what to say except for, "Oh, okay, yeah. And they nervously went back to pretending to work on their project.
She's no dummy.
I'd like to think that the memory of this incident has kept these boys from calling people Karens, but I'm not delusional. Still, James and John, I like your theory. That's a spin on every time a bell rings, an angel gets his wing, which is every time you call a mean person a Karen, a real good Karen dies."
Did we really say that?
I feel like it.
It sounds like us.
It does. We should put that on a shirt. Oh, sorry, Karen. I think you said that, James. I would never say such.
No, it sounds like a package deal.
But the good Karen, the nice Karen, the real Karen, she likes that. And she said, "But of course, that means my days are seriously over."
Yeah.
Yeah. It's for a great show.
So my takeaway here is it's better to be a real Karen than a nice Karen.
That's
according to the Gospel of Kennison, Every time you call somebody a Karen, a good Karen dies.
Every time you call a mean person a Karen, a real good Karen dies.
Yeah.
Oh,
man. Well,
congratulations on your retirement from teaching, nice Karen. I don't know how you made it through teaching middle school, but God bless you.
You did it. You did it. We got one more story. It's from Julia in Idaho. It's called Sleep Deprived Drive. Let me start by saying that I believe that all the stereotypes about women's drivers are all true. Let me start by saying that I just read that. That's not my opinion. She says, unfortunately, I am one of them. My story starts a couple months ago when I was working for a golf course restaurant on a food truck. I normally would close the truck and start my shift at noon, but 1 week late summer, I was the opener, meaning I needed to start my shift at 5 a.m. I'm not a morning person. So having gotten up at 4:20 a.m. 2 days in a row was rough on me. The third morning, I stumbled around getting ready as usual. I said good morning to my dad, who was an early riser, and I got in the car to leave. Now, my dad parks on the street, not park in the driveway. He didn't know that I had the early shift in that day, and he thought he would be the first person to leave that morning. He had therefore parked way closer to the driveway than he normally would. And I didn't know that. And the lack of information combined with the sleep deprivation and the darkness of pre-sunrise caused me to damage our family's other two cars like this.
No!
I backed out of the driveway like I normally do. Suddenly, I hear and feel a horrible scraping crunch and stop immediately.
Oh, no.
I, coming out of the driveway at an angle, had scraped the driver's side of my car against my dad's car back passenger taillight. Okay. I kept my foot on the brake and quickly called my dad with my phone. He came outside and, being the perfect dad that he is, very calmly guided me out of the situation and to prevent further damage. Then he quickly grabbed me by my neck and choked me till dead. No. Now there's a heart-shaped dent above my dad's back taillight. Aww.
It's so sweet.
It's so precious. And my dad's driver's side mirror is held on by packing tape. Or my driver's side mirror is held on by packing tape. The moral of the story is also make sure to own cars you don't care about very much if you park anywhere near me. Julia from Idaho. Thank you so much, Julia. Appreciate
good
it.
Good one, Julia.
Dude.
It only has to happen once.
We used to have a parking place in front of our house, and it was two cars deep, not two cars wide. And my wife was parked up near the garage, and I was parked behind her, and she just starts going, dude, backwards. And I'm like, no, honk, 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 honk. And she tapped me, man. She did. She didn't cause any damage, but it just struck me how horrible it would be for two people in the same family to get in an accident because you wreck both your cars at the same time.
No.
It's terrible. So anyway, we got a few announcements. No show on the 26th of December and January 2nd. So just be ready for that. Show 500, we're hoping, will be February 27th. If you would like to send something in for show 500, maybe an audio clip, we would love to get those.
Thank you.
Just go to the website and submit them. Or email James or thatstoryshow@gmail.com would probably be best. And then just put #500. Check out our merch at merch.thatstoryshow.com. John's saying we need to put some new t-shirts up. I've got an idea for I do have a shirt idea. It would be a maple leaf. What was that?
Really?
Yeah. And it would say, just say no to Japanese maple.
Okay.
And it would have a big Japanese maple leaf on it.
I thought you were going to say, just say no to fall festival.
No. So
I might get that shirt, actually.
Yeah. Yeah. So the next theme show is bikes, December 19th. So you've got a week to get your bike stories in. We've got plenty, but we're always looking for more. We're wanting more stories about bikes, jumping them, falling off them, hurting yourself or others with them, your best trick, whatever, your favorite bike, your least favorite bike, you know, a bike that turns into a robot. I don't care. As long as it's true, we want it. This podcast is possible because of our supporting listeners on Patreon. Supporting listeners get ad-free listening swag and a weekly bonus podcast. Try it out free for 7 days at support.thatstoryshow.com. We'd like to thank our latest patron, Donna Hampton. Thanks for becoming a supporting listener. And special thanks to our producers, James Spengler, Carrie Wright, and Christopher Tynan. It is time for us to get out of here. Yeah. Do you have a story you'd like featured on a future episode? Sure you do. Submit your story at thatstoryshow.com. And while you're there, join our mailing list for the latest updates. Please take a moment and leave a review on iTunes or Spotify. And remember, when something weird, annoying, embarrassing, or painful happens to you, don't get stressed, don't get depressed. Just think, hey, this belongs on That Story Show. And aphids don't belong on your plants. I think aphids should live more than spiders. Okay. Beware the Karen with a glare so keen. Her voice like thunder, her tone quite mean. She demands the manager. She won't take no. In the land of complaints, she's the star of the show. Not every Karen is so daring. We had one on the show. She's a teacher. She's no meaner than a sloth in the snow. But her students, they were so rude, and they thought that they could tease her. But she's caught up on the culture, so they couldn't even reach her. It's generally frowned on to hit a child anymore. But I saw the other day this girl throwing stuff on the store. Some shoppers thought this set was bad president. But one lady said, don't stop her, she might be a president. Then a child out of line, we should be able to stop it. Like a dad with the bat that chased the boy, he wasn't gonna hit it. But the boy gave perspective, it showed him where he stood. He's a prisoner in his house inside his own neighborhood. Hey guys and gals, welcome to Stuff That Didn't Fit on the Show, where we put stuff that didn't fit on the show. I'm your host, my name is James.
And I'm still John.
That's right.
Do I say that every week?
I don't know. I don't know. Sometimes I feel like I need to reintroduce myself.
I know that we just got finished with the show and we introduced ourselves, and some people forget quick.
Well, okay. I've heard that there are people that have listened to the show for years and they've never seen our faces. They've never looked us up.
God bless them. They probably have a really good image of what.
Well, I don't know what it would be, but because they'll write in and say, you look nothing like I thought you would look like. And I assume they mean the both of us.
Well, I know.
I wish somebody would draw a picture of what they thought we would look like based on our voices.
Oh, man, that would be awesome.
And then we could compare, you know, what do we look like we sound like? You know what I'm saying?
Okay, so that's cool.
That's the first type of people. And then there's people that have seen our pictures but reverse us, and they think I'm you and you're me. So that's why I feel the need to say more than once a show, hi, I'm James.
Yeah, and I'm John.
Yeah. Get more from That Story Show today. Support.thatstoryshow.com.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.